Today we're going to start a brand new series called Heroes. People that God chose and put their raw, unedited accounts of their lives, engrave them in the scriptures. For whom? For posterity's sake? For history? No. It says in the book of Romans chapter 15, the things that happened in earlier times were written for our instruction. What? Yeah. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come, says the apostle Paul. In other words, what God did was he took the lives of men and women, put them in the Bible so that if we would distill their lives into life essential lessons, God will give us, yield to us the gems or the wisdom of the ages. And we'll be able to walk wiser because of their lives. And what we're going to do is take a few of these heroes and distill their lives down to one or two principles that we can take from, we can yield fruit in our own lives, because that's why they were recorded, these lessons. One of the first heroes, one of my favorite heroes, is David. Now, David's days were numbered. There was a contract on his life. You see, the king, King Saul, was so intimidated by this great, competent, talented young leader that God seemed to favor that it just bothered him to no end. So he put a contract out on his life to bring him down and to put him to death. And if anybody helped David, there'd be a death sentence on them too, even so far as his own son, Jonathan. Well, at that point, David has to run because there's a government contract on his life. I mean, it's bad enough if a friend betrays you, but what if the government puts a contract out on you? You either have to be Jason Bourne, Rambo, or 007 to survive. But for the most of us, we're dead meat. We're roadkill. We're history. We're finished. So David's days were numbered. And I bet if your days were numbered like that, you would reassess life, wouldn't you? You'd rethink, because you know that you're done. So if you have a month left or 2 months left, how would you live? Your days are numbered. Things that used to not be so important to you would become very important to you. And things that you thought were very important are not. Everything begins to balance out. And you know what happens? In the end, your life comes into clarity. Your life becomes focused, and you begin to see what's most important. And you say, this is it. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, why wait till a gangster has a contract out on you, or Al-Qaeda or a terrorist has some sentence on you, and or a disease has captured you and painted you into the corner so much so that you find out you have a terminal disease, and then all of a sudden you start making some decisions and you get your life together and it becomes clearer and focused. But by that time, you only have a little bit of life left. What if we extended that and started living like that back here? That's exactly what David is going to tell us about. How do we do that? Well, in Psalm 90 in verse 12, we're going to read a scripture. So would you take out your notes? Nah, just joking. No notes today. Just joking. So we're going to put the scripture up on the bulletin board, but on the PowerPoint screen. So we're going to read what David says about as he prays to God, saying, God, just not teach me, teach us to what? Let's read it together on the screen. Would you read it? Psalm 90 and verse 12. Go. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of... Read that first portion again. Go. So teach us to number our... Here's what David is saying. Don't wait for a terrorist or a gangster or a criminal or a disease to number your days for you. Why don't you say, God, teach me to number my own days? In other words, God, teach me how to do it in a self way where my days are numbered because I chose to do it myself. Teach me to live as if my days were numbered. That's what he's saying. Not back here, though. Way in front here. Teach me to live over here, not in the end. Over here, while I still have a lot of days in front of me, Teach me to live in such a way as if my days were numbered. Why? Because when you live that way, wisdom starts to brew in your heart. If you think, well, whatever, I take everything for granted, you'll not be a man or woman of wisdom. Mark my words. But if you live as if your days were numbered, your decisions are so much wiser. Your relationships are better, clearer. You begin to understand what life is. And just think, if you started living it back here, do you understand the clarity of life you'll start with, not end with? You know what one man said to me? He said, Wayne, a wise man does at once what a fool does at last. You understand where wisdom comes? And so David is saying, and here's one of the great life essentials that he gives to us. He's saying, God, teach us to live early on as if our days were numbered. So help us to number our own days. Live as if your days were numbered. Now, I got to make this disclaimer. Portuguese people cannot do that very well. No, they cannot live like that. As is a story of Manuel. Manuel had a beautiful girlfriend. And she saw another guy, so she leaves Manuel, goes for this other guy. Oh, and Manuel, oh, no, and he's so discouraged. He's so disparaged. He's so exasperated. He's so depressed. He goes to her house where she's visiting with this other guy, and he takes a gun with him. That's it. He breaks into the house. He's waving the gun around saying, wow, could you do that? How could you do that? How could you do this? And the guy's there with the girl, and they're like, whoa, what's going on? He said, that's it. I'm going to pull the trigger. And he puts it to his head. This is it. This is it. This is the end. And his ex-girlfriend says, Manuel, don't shoot. Don't shoot. He says, shut up, girl. You're next. So Portuguese people cannot number the days too well. They make mistakes. So listen very carefully if you're Portuguese this morning, because I will help you. I will help you. Well, you say, well, how do you make that transition so that you start to get your life clearer, so that you know what's most important? In other words, live way over here as if your days were numbered. You see, a lot of times we wait till we're pinched into the corner by some disease or some problem and our days are numbered. We do it way at the end. It's too late. David is saying, don't wait that long. See, one of the reasons we kind of slide into this wrong kind of thinking and we waste half of our life before we wake up is because in the beginning of life, everything is automatic. But then it becomes more intentional or manual towards the end. Because you see, when you first start off life, everything is done for you. So everything's automatic. You don't even have to wake up to go to school. Your parents wake you up. You don't have to make your bed. It's automatic. You come home from school. Oh, bed's made. Automatic. You have food made for you. Oh, it's on a plate. Automatic food. Even your education is automatic because we have in America a law that you have to go to school till you're 18 years old. So you can be, oh, I hate this, I hate this. You sit in class, automatic education. Everything is automatic. And if your parents have any measure of affluence, not only through high school, your education is automatic, your college is automatic because your parents fork out the money for that. So automatic. But let me tell you something. As time goes on, what you know as essentials will no longer be automatic. It becomes manual. You have to be intentional. Because in the beginning, even making friends was automatic. You just go out for recess. Oh, hi, hi, my name is Joey. My name is Billy. Okay, we're friends. That's automatic. Isn't that right? Just automatic. But later on, if you don't know where that transition is made, you'll think all friendships are automatic. But and you don't have to wait till 30, 40, 50, 60. About 15 or 14 years old, you have to realize that making friendships is no longer automatic. It's intentional. And if you don't choose wisely your friends, and if you're not intentional about friendships, you're going to fall into a relationship that'll break your heart, will bilk you, will cause you to feel betrayed, and you'll be left with a pile of shards of broken expectations. And you'll go from friend to friend because you think, it was always automatic. And that's why the Bible says choose your friends wisely, because bad company corrupts good morals. You understand? And so as you grow in life, everything which used to be automatic is not. And if you think it is, that's why families go broken. That's why marriages are destroyed, because you think, well, I don't have to maintain it because it's automatic. It should just be healthy all the time. No. Think about it when you were young. I could eat anything and stay pretty trim. Now, not so. Because your metabolism was so much faster back then, you just stayed pretty healthy automatically. But now I just kind of smell ham and cheese and I gain 5 pounds. If you're going to stay fit, it's intentional. If you're going to have a healthy marriage, it's intentional. It's manual. It's life is like a car, except in the opposite. Remember long ago, everything used to be manual in a car. Now everything is automatic. Life is the opposite. But remember when you used to have a car long, long ago, I mean, like that everything was manual. Your gear shift was manual. Your steering was manual. Your brakes were all manual. Your windows, manual, right? Some of you can't even remember those things. Yeah. Everything, your seat movement, all manual. And even your air conditioning was manual. That's right, because we didn't have any. You remember those wings on the window, the front window? Ma, I'm hot. Open the wing, open the wing. Oh, gotta get some air. Yeah, isn't that right? Roll down the window, roll down the window. Okay. Yeah, it was all manual. Now everything is automatic. Automatic steering, automatic, the brakes, the windows, everything is push button. Now you don't even have to turn the key on some of the cars. You just have a key in your pocket and you push a button. Oh, and the thing starts up. Pretty soon you won't even have to get in your car. These arms will come out and move your okole inside. Isn't that right? And going to be voice activated. Start. Drive. It's just amazing. So it went from manual to automatic. Life is exactly the opposite. You start automatic. You move to everything is manual. If you want to stay fit, it's intentional. If you want to have health, it's intentional. You invest in it and you work at it. It's manual. But how come it used to be automatic? Yeah, opposite of a car. So it is now intentional. So what you have to do is say, what are some of the things that I used to take for granted that I cannot anymore? I must make sure that I invest in these things. Everything. Family. Friends, your faith is no longer automatic. When you were younger, you went to church because your parents went to church or your wife went to church. But now it's intentional if you're going to be a person of faith. You say, well, how do you make that transition then from what was automatic to now it's got to be intentional? Because if you don't, you lose them. You thought they'll always be around. Mm-mm. You lose it. It's intentional. Just think of a car. It's the opposite of a car. It starts with now automatic, goes to manual. So how do you do that? Real easy. David says it to us. He says, teach us, O God, to number our days, our own days, so that we will present to you a heart of wisdom. So wisdom will grow in our life. Wisdom is unavailable to you unless you live as if your days were numbered. Watch people who take everything for granted and think everything is automatic. They have no wisdom. But once you live as if your days were numbered, your decisions are far wiser. What you invest in, what you think about, how you plan your future, everything changes. And that's exactly what David is telling us. Make sure. Now, again, if you're terminal, you'll reassess your life. There's a movie coming to Hawaii. It should be coming very shortly. It's called The Bucket List. And it's played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. An outstanding movie that speaks about these two unlikely incompatibles. One is a billionaire, Jack Nicholson, and then a mechanic for 40-some years, a blue-collar worker. They find themselves, the only thing they have in common right now is the same hospital room because they both had the same diagnosis. They are in the final stages of cancer. They're terminally ill with cancer, and there's nothing the doctors can do. They're just waiting to die. And then after they get over the shock, they start reassessing their lives. And it's sort of at first a love-hate relationship, but they embark on a journey of realizing that there's certain things in life that they had taken for granted. And they don't want to die without getting their balance correct. And so what happens is they embark on this journey and they actually become very good friends and almost healing, as it were, to one another. Now, how many of you, if you found out that you were terminal case, how many of you, now with a raise of hands, how many of you would honestly reassess your life a little bit? Raise your hand. How many of you, if you found that you were terminal? Yeah. Well, let me just give you some news. You are terminal. We all gonna die. But why wait till stage 4 cancer gets you, or breast cancer, or something else? Why don't you rewind the tape and do what David says? Live in such a way that you live as if your days are numbered. Watch the wisdom that pours into your heart. Do you understand? The earlier you do that, the greater your life will be. Why wait to the end? Sometimes people 15, 16, 20 years old think, it's for old people. No, it's for you. If you would catch that, you know how David, when he was running from Saul, he was probably 19 years old. He was probably a teenager at that time. And he starts writing these things, not when he's super old. He's reflecting on certain things at different times in his life. But it's not about older people. It's about us. Notice I said us, younger people. Reassess your life. And so in this movie, The Bucket List, they're going to do their best to reassess their life. Now, you'll notice that when you do reassess your life as to what's most important, things are going to change a little bit. Because in one season of your life, what you'll find is most important may be finishing your education. Or it might be financial health. Now, I didn't say get rich at any cost. I said financial health, which means stewarding wisely whatever God is entrusting to you right now. Whatever amount God is entrusting to you, are you parceling that out faithfully? Are you utilizing it faithfully? Are you grumbling about what you don't have rather than stewarding what you do? Financial health. Others, it might be something else. Later on down the line, it may be family, because over here, they may not have children yet. Maybe your spouse. Over here, you're not married yet, so it's more education. Or it might be stabilizing my life. Because I have a tendency to quit when things get hot in the kitchen and bail. I'm just going to stabilize my life for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I'm not going to change jobs. I'm just going to establish something deeper, which is family, which is neighborhood, which is my faith, which is ministry in a church. I'm just going to stay and stabilize and get roots rather than always being flighty and being a sojourner looking for more and more and more. Then you get pierced with the disease of always wanting more. Then there's a wanderlust that develops in your heart. You might say, for this season of my life, one of the big things is I'm just going to stabilize it for a while. But you're going to reassess it. You're going to have to think through. And here, I just want you to see about a minute of this clip, how they're assessing life. Let's take a look at just a little clip from Bucket List.
What is this?
Give it back.
It was on the floor. I didn't know it was a state secret.
My freshman philosophy professor assigned this exercise. He called it a bucket list. We were supposed to make a list of all the things we wanted to do in our lives before we...
Kicked the bucket. Yeah. Cutesy.
I was gonna redo the list, but then...
Help a complete stranger for the good. Laugh until I cry. Not to be judgmental, but this is extremely weak.
Well... Pointless now.
I would argue the exact opposite. All right, that's it.
What are you doing?
A little rewrite, that's all. I mean, don't you want to go out with guns blazing? Now we're onto something.
We're onto something?
Uh-huh.
Let me see that. Come on. Go ahead. Kiss the most beautiful girl in the world? How do you propose doing that?
Volume.
They're reassessing their lives. Because you see, one of the things that you're going to have to do to come to clarity, crystal clear clarity in your life, because you have to remember this, you only go around once. Right now, you're traveling at over 6,600 miles an hour. That's how fast this world is spinning on its axis, going around the sun. And you're spinning faster than a Maytag spin cycle on a washing machine. And another spin or two, you're done. Why did we wait till the last quarter of the last spin to try and focus our lenses? And if we will do it sooner, then do you understand the kind of life that we can have? David understood that. That's why he said, our life is like a sigh. And that's it. It's gone. Job said, our life is like a breath. That's it. That's how brief it is. James says, our life is like a vapor that's here and then gone. And that's why David says, Lord, teach us to live as if our days were numbered. Because then it'll bring clarity and focus and wisdom will pour into our hearts. So what's the first step in making this transition from that which used to be automatic to that which is intentional so that wisdom can start to enter our hearts? Here's the first thing. You got to find out, you got to identify what's most important. Identify. You want to write that down on your heart, on your arm, your neighbor's sleeve, something. But identify, because you got to find out what's most important. Because remember this, life has got so many moving parts to it. A lot of gears running at different RPMs, small ones, medium-sized ones. And they're just going all the time. Zzz, and they're just going like crazy. Some have a lot of adrenaline and excitement to them. Some not so much so. But running all of these things, you're going to find there's about four or five major gears that turn slowly. They're big ones. And they just keep grinding. And they just grind and have been for years. Now, this one might seem slow and not very exciting. So you think, that's automatic. No. Because after a while, you have to make sure that it's intentional. Because you see, if one of the small gears stops, no big deal. If it breaks, no big deal. It's removed, no big deal. But if one of the big gears stops, it affects the whole load of gears. They all stop. There are certain gears that are very important in your life that's going to drive your life. One of those big gears stops, you're going to lose a quarter of your life's focus, and you're going to be playing catch-up ball the rest of the time. And so what do we do? The first is identify. You got to identify those gears, those four or five main gears. And the second thing, write it down somewhere, then you invest in those. Invest. You don't invest in a whole bunch of others. You invest in these primarily because the rest of the gears will be a whole lot more automatic. But the five are going to be intentional. Don't put so much investment in the small ones and let these grind to a stop because of neglect or a lack of maintenance or ignorance. You make sure that the first thing you do when you want to get your life in focus is, forgot it already. What was the first thing you have to do? You got to identify. That's right. You got to identify the main gears. And then the second is invest in it. But here's the third thing. Well, how often are you going to do it? Every day. Every day, something towards it. It doesn't have to be a huge contribution. Just make sure that you're touching on these every single day. And then when you are, what was the first one again? You identify it and then you? Yeah, that's right, invest. And then the third was how often? Every day. When you do those three things in just the most essential parts of your life that's got to be intentional, your life comes into a clarity. You start developing a sense of wisdom. And I guarantee you, your next year will be so much more on target. Now, As I said, some of those things will change as years change because you'll move through seasons of life, single life, education, married, married with kids, and go into different stages. So in each stage, you're going to have different main gears. You need to, what was that? Gosh, thank you. Identify them. Sorry, my mind's going. And then you got to what? Invest in them. But how often? Every day. And then everything starts to clear up. I've shown you my calendar before where I put the five most important things in my life. I actually write them down and I have them staring at me every month. Every month I write them down and I highlight them in yellow. And I make sure I'm doing something towards all of those five. I don't let them go on automatic. Something to do with my wife. If my faith, it says one of the most important things is grow consistently in my faith with Christ so that it's genuine. So every morning I'm doing my devotions because I'm investing in that one main gear. That, you think that has a lot of other gears running off of it? Thousands. But sometimes we invest in those and we forget the main one. Invest in that. And you do it every day. And then the other one says, my wife. I have a close relationship with my wife. So I'm making sure that we're doing something all the time. I'm contacting her. When I get tired, my wife calls me a bear when I get tired. You don't want to be around me when I'm tired. I just want to go to sleep. Leave me alone. I tell my wife, I'm invisible. I'm invisible right now. And so I just want to lay down. And then, but then I think, oops, I've got to make sure that I keep a relationship with my wife that's good. So I have to go back and apologize or say, can I just take a nap for about 15, 20 minutes and I'll be okay. And so you have to learn communication. Why? Because that second important thing is facing me, showing me, reminding me, are you investing in this? Another is my children. I've got to make sure I've got three kids. I've got to make sure that we're in communion and communication with one another. Now, they all receive communication or communicate differently. Now, it's one of my main five things, my family. Now, here's a word to parents as a sidebar. This is really important. You need to find out how your children communicate best because they could be completely different in their mode of communication. And if you try to do it on a different level or a communication level that you're comfortable with, they will not receive it. You got to find out how they communicate, learn it, transition, and invest in that way. For example, I have three kids, and my oldest daughter, her way of communicating with dad is for when she was going to preschool, I used to take her out for breakfast once a week and we'd have conversation. And now she's 29 years old and one of the best ways she communicates still with me is I take her out for breakfast and we sit and we talk about life and I go over some things. And that's just the way she likes it. My son, on the other hand, likes to do things with me. So we go paddling or surfing, and then in the midst of that, we commune or we communicate and we talk. That's how he likes it best. Now, my youngest, she's in college still in the mainland, and I'll call her. Now, call dad back, because, you know, she has these funny rings like a, you know, rock and roll. Ah, 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 ah. Change your ringer. Just make regular ring, ring, ring. Click, you know. And then she doesn't call me back. Call your father back. This is your father. Click. She doesn't call me back. I thought, oh, she is just going over the deep edge, this girl. What is wrong with her? Then I got a phone that texts messages. I learned to text. So I texted her a message and boop, I sent it. I put my phone down. Within seconds, boop, she texts me back. No way. So I thought, I'm going to text her again. Boop. Whoa. She's communicating. Now I text her all the time. It's kind of fun. I'm getting better at it. I used to misspell all my words, you know, because it's kind of hard. And instead of dad, one of these things, it's got this automatic spell check thing. And I put did, and it changed it to Rod. So I said, love you, Rod. She wrote back, who is this? thought, oh, sorry, I'm still learning this texting thing. And then, and we're just having a whole bunch of fun. But she now texts me all the time, and I text her. You know, she does not want to talk on the phone. She doesn't even want face-to-face. Just text me, Dad, text me that. I could be sitting at breakfast. You want some water? Dad, text me. Isn't that right? So what you have to do is you got to find out what mode of communication they're most comfortable with. And then you got to adjust to that. If not, you're going to demand everybody adjusts to the way you like to communicate best, and you'll destroy relationships and you won't even know it. Take that one thing. It's worth all the money you paid to come to this service today. It was free. Yeah, okay, all right. I tell you, it's so important. Catch that. So I write all of these five things down, and I invest in them every day. So the first is you have to, what was it again? Identify. The second is?
Yes.
And the third, how often?
Every day.
I used to do that a lot with my calendar. And I was doing it. In fact, I brought my calendar with me, and I was doing it, and I put all of these things in, and because it works really good. And then I thought, you know what? I need to develop one of these calendars for the people of New Hope so that you can do that, because it is so important. So a few months ago, I started whacking on this thing. And so we have a little gift for you. It's called a Life Calendar 2008. Now, yeah, Merry Christmas. And I started already in my January one. Now, let me just give you a little bit of heads up on it. First of all, every day we'll have the scripture readings already listed in there. That's according to your life journal. And so this is a companion with your life journal. So you just go to the day and it tells you what the reading is. It has a little box that you can check it. And then in the middle here is kind of a cardboard kind of thing here that is on every month. I have one of these. It's there. And I was going to call it, I didn't know what to call it, so I thought it'd be like a centerfold, but I thought, no, it's not a smooth. No. So I thought I'd call it the midsection. Okay, so so I have a midsection here, and on this, you'll see that it has what's most important, and a space for about five or six, what you write down what's most important. And if you flip it on this side, it says it here again, what's most important. It's designed for you to write it again and again and again. Because if you write it twice every month, right here, what's most important, that whatever day you're looking at, these five things are staring at you in the face. So after 1 year, 12 months, you will have written it, exercised that 24 times writing it down. It's designed that way because you got to get it into your head. Secondly, right below it, it'll say points of obedience. And what I want you to do is write down some of the things that God's speaking to you about that you need to emphasize this month. Some of you, it might just say clean your office, or God might be saying take time with your son, or it might be your health or your fitness, or it might be something else. But you write these things down, and it's to tell you that this month cannot end without me obeying these things. What this life planner is designed to do is to prompt you to obedience so that at the end of the year, your life will be far closer to the target than the mark and be much more crystal clear than if you hadn't have done this. And then on the bottom, I have a little space here for these little post-it notes. And on it, there's a watermark that says Life Essentials. So to remind you, I mean, this is just for daily stuff, like buy eggs, get milk, you know, whatever. And then you just tear these off and throw it away. So instead of having to write it, cram it in one of these little things here, you have one of these post-it things. And then when it's done, you just put another post-it sticker right there. And you have it for that side, and you have one for the other side. Off to the side here is a place for notes, like someone gives you a phone number. You just scribble it in there. And right beneath it, this says relationship builders. This is what I would do. I would put a name in every week. of a relationship that someone I marginalize unknowingly, or I can't get along with, or I've got to renew a relationship with, or whatever. And I pray for that person. I try to get together with that person, either for lunch or coffee, or if they're on the mainland, write a nice long letter of appreciation or an email. But something, you're deepening one relationship a week that you're focusing on. And just think, if you did one a week, you would have 52 better relationships at the end of every year. You understand that? That's phenomenal. And then on the bottom here, it says prayer list. I write down some things or people that I'm praying for. And this gives you a wonderful lay of the land for the month. It gives you what's most important, a reminder to invest in it every day, to be obedient to what God's calling you to do this month. And at the end of the year, you'll turn around and see what a fruitful year you have had in 2008. So we've got one for all of you when you leave as a present for you as people of New Hope. Okay, let's stand together as we conclude. Hey, by the way, I forgot those three things already so soon. Man, there's dementia setting in. What was the first one? You have to, what was it? Identify, and then you need to? And how often? You got it. Hey, here's another thing, is we're going to give you a packet of Post-it stickers, too, as you go out, and it'll say Life Essentials, so that you'll have one for every month there in the calendar. And so as you go out, we make it just one per adult, all right? So like under 18, if you can wait, because we just have so many and then we're going to run out. So then we'll have a bunch more next week and you can buy it then. But today, one per adult as a gift. But it's you got to be present to win. It's like, okay, my adult, my sister's adult, my other brother's one adult. So don't stack up and take them home. But yeah, if you're like 18 and over, but if you're under that, kind of wait. And so you're 17 and 3/4 and you take one, you lie, you're going to go to purgatory. So don't do that. It's just because we just have so many. And it was just brand new. It's hot off the press. And the publishers just got it to us and they're printing some more. So we asked for an advance shipment so that we can get it to you before the new year begins. All right. So those are available outside. But let's pray and then we can be dismissed. Lord, thank you so very much for allowing us to stand on the cusp of a new year and then equip us to do better in 08. Lord, you've taught us so much in 07. And some of the lessons came with a very high tuition. We don't want to miss the lessons, nor do we want to archive them. We want to apply them. And so, Lord, thank you for this tool where we can actually hang our hats, as it were, and start to see our days prompted towards obedience in our faith, in our families, in our relationships, and all that you're telling us to do. We really want to learn to be a people of obedience because that is the best way to live our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everyone says,
amen.
Would you give him a thank offering, Lord? Thank you.